Have an ice pack ready and make sure your doctor's appointments are scheduled. We're taking it back to 1976, and hoo boy, do you feel every second of it. It's Tickets Please. Have your tickets ready and get ready to ride Screamin' Eagle in Six Flags St. Louis. Welcome back to Tickets Please. I am your host, Austin Gould, and I'm here with the lovely and enchanting Carson Gray.
Oh, what a beautiful intro. Thank you, Austin.
Thank you. And today we're talking about a little-known ride popular for us who grew up in the Midwest called Screamin' Eagle, which is only at Six Flags in St. Louis. So just as a bit of background, actually, you know what? Before I get into all that, let me say this. Thank you for the great response that we had to our first episode. We had over 130 views across all platforms. We really appreciate that, and content will be coming out more regularly. And thank you for sticking with us and interact with us, ask us questions, let us know what you like, the type of content you'd like to see covered, what you want for the future. But yeah, we were really blown away by the first response, so thank you, first off.
Yeah, thank you from me as well. And we saw a comment that pitched a couple ideas for us for a promo TikTok video. And I reminded Austin to check it out. And we both agreed that it's a really good idea to, even if we don't go that exact direction, it's a good idea to throw in a couple more things to make those promo videos for the next episodes more entertaining. So thank you very much for that feedback. We can only go up from here. So we're really excited.
Yes, and we're, you know, first podcast is different for everyone. I'm going to try not to say 400 times in the first 20 minutes of this podcast. But hey, we're always improving. Me and this podcast is like theme parks. As we're always improving, baby. We're always getting better. We're always looking to ways to improve and get new attractions and improve ourselves just like theme parks. How's that?
Right, it just gets better and better that way, right?
Well, that's exactly of course. Right. But yeah, so as a background, so I was born in New York, but I grew up in Illinois, and now I live on the West Coast. And Carson grew up in the Midwest, and he still lives in the Midwest. Today we're talking about a great little ride down in Six Flags St. Louis. It's right on the border. It's where how I know about this ride is because it's where my school went on for field trips when you graduated the eighth grade. It was like your eighth grade graduation was you got to go spend a day at a theme park with all your buds. So that's all I know about this ride. But Carson, how do you feel about this ride? Just early on impressions.
Oh yeah. So my first experience with this ride was when I actually went last year to Fright Fest for Six Flags St. Louis with my wife and our good friend Alec. Man, first impressions of that ride. It looks really cool. Because it's a wooden roller coaster, you can literally see the history in it, and I know that's it's an icon. Again, just like the Jurassic Park ride is for Universal, this is a pretty iconic ride for Six Flags.
This is what I would call, and you're gonna laugh at this, but this is what in the theme park world is what it's called. It's called a weenie. Which is like the thing that stands out and is like it draws your eye to it. I don't know. Walt Disney coined that. I don't know why it's called the weenie, but like the castle in Disney is like a weenie, or like the Matterhorn, or like Everest in Animal Kingdom. You know what I mean? It's something that's like big, and it's like your focal point of the park. Like that's what I viewed this ride as, and I think you said it perfectly. It's like a beautiful structure. It is like. It's painted white. It has, like, the wagons are red and blue, and the railing is blue. But it is, like, a huge, massive, beautiful structure that's at the back of the park. And no matter where you go, you can see it. You can also kind of hear it. And it just, I mean, it takes up literally the entire back half of this park.
It does.
Before we get into our first experience riding it, I'll tell you a little bit of information about this beauty. Also, this ride is 50 years old next year, and you feel every second of it. My favorite two YouTube comments that I read while researching this were she looks and feels like she's 40, which was very funny to me. And that was 10 years ago.
Brutal.
And the other one was, if you want a near-death experience, to ride the back train, which was a very funny comment to me because I can attest to that. But yeah, this so in general, Carson, where do you think this Six Flags ranks in, like, there's 26 Six Flags parks in the U.S. Where do you think this one ranks?
The whole park?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess third.
Third, way off. You like this park too much. Your bias is showing. This was ranked 8 on the list I saw. It was ranked 18th. Which seemed to be pretty accurate. Yeah.
Oh boy.
It was like the first one mentioned at the mid-tier Six Flags list, which felt right to me. I know that Six Flags, like Magic Mountain, is like ripping for roller coasters, and you know other ones are great as well that we haven't been to. But when I was at Six Flags, I had already gone to Disney, and so I was like, this is not as good as Disney, which it isn't. Of course it isn't. It doesn't have a budget anything like Disney, but my kid brain didn't understand that. So I was like, it's not as clean as Disney, and so I didn't like it as much. Screaming Eagle, the ride in this 18th park out of 26 for Six Flags parks, it often ranks within the top 5 best rides of this park, which I would agree on. Its opening date was April 10th, 1976. Cost around $3 million, which is around $17 million in today's money. Just to give you some comparison, there's also Ghost Rider, which is in Knott's Berry Farm, which is in California. And that's another famous wooden roller coaster, although I do believe they have Steel Track now, but it was wood. I think they have a combination of the two. But that one opened in 1998, cost $24 million. And The Beast, which is in King's Island, Six Flags Park, the cost of that was $3.2 million, and that also opened up in 79. So pretty comparable across the board here for wooden roller coasters and cost. I was actually pretty surprised that it cost that much. Once again, it is a huge structure. It's like a pretty imposing, like when I went to Six Flags the first time, this was the ride that I wanted to get on the most because it just kept catching my eye. And so I kept like wanting to go back to it. So it's a wooden roller coaster. It opened on, like I said, this 1976 for America's bicentennial celebration. When it opened, Guinness World Records listed it as the largest coaster at 110 feet, or 34 meters high, and the fastest coaster at 62 miles per hour, or 100 kilometers. This ride is a modified L-shape out and back, which just means, as a roller coaster, you start where you finish, so you just, like, get off, you load, and exit at the same spot. Some of you lovely people in my family, let me know that I was talking, Carson, you even called me out for it last episode. When I get too much into my theme park terms, let me know, and then I will explain what they are. This was the last coaster designed by a guy named John Allen. And I only say that because he has one of my favorite quotes I've ever read about roller coasters. Are you ready for this?
Oh yeah. I'm buckled in, if you will.
Oh, there you go. You're strapped. So this guy, he built over 25 roller coasters in his life. He was like a roller coaster guy. And he said this, are you ready? You don't need a degree in engineering to design roller coasters. You need a degree in psychology.
Whoa.
I was like, hell yeah. I was like, that's the guy I want making my roller coasters right there. I was like, that guy knows what's
that's
up.
That's cool.
I was like, that guy, he gets it. He's like, structurally it will work, but does it thrill you? I just thought that was a great quote. In the 1990s, the trains were replaced. So if you look at the trains now for Screamin' Eagle, they change them every now and then, but the most recent one I saw was you get in the train car and it's either red or blue and it has an eagle on front. They used to look a little better, in my opinion. It used to have, like, red, and then the main bit in front would be black with an eagle on it, and it would say Screaming Eagle. That's, I think, it was a little nicer, but in the 90s, they replaced them, and they repaint them every now and then for different things. From 2003 to 2006, the Screaming Eagle received significant repairs, such as painting, retracking, and replacing the control panel. I can tell you, as someone who's been on this after that, it definitely could use another coat of paint in several areas. And in 1976, so the same year it opened, in September, 19 people suffered minor injuries after the ride collided into another train that was parked. Most people were fine. Some people were taken to the hospital, but no one died. So that's good. It's always good when no one dies on the roller coaster.
Wow. That doesn't surprise. Oh, man, knowing how much it rattles you already, imagine how that collision felt. Jeez.
Ooh, I bet it would didn't feel good.
Sheesh.
For the Golden Ticket Award, which is like a theme park like ride awards they give out, it is ranked within the top 50 best wooden roller coasters to ride. But unfortunately, last year was ranked 49th. So I believe that this ride is on its way out of the top 50. But like I said, she's old and proud, and you know, deserves to be talked about. She's a beaut. But yeah, so Carson, let's get into now the first time you rode this. So the first time you rode this was at the Fright Fest.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is correct. I rode it for the first time at Fright Fest last year. I like the overall experience, but man, did it rattle me. My neck was pretty sore after that ride. I'm at the time I was 28. I'm 29 now, but like I was still surprised to feel that rattled up by it. But for a wooden roller coaster, I thought the drops were really cool. I thought the speed, I can see why it's called the Screaming Eagle. The speed was nice for being a wooden roller coaster, and the dips and the drops were fun. I think they were a classic staple for what roller coasters should be like.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the height of this, like I said earlier, is 110 feet. The drop is 92 feet. And it hits a speed. It doesn't have any inversions, but it does hit 62 miles an hour. Which, for comparison, the Ghost Rider back in Knott's only goes, I believe it's 61 miles an hour. Let me see. 56 miles an hour. And then the Beast goes, I believe, 66 miles an hour. Let me just confirm that real quick. 65 miles. So it's very comparable to... And the Beast, why I keep bringing up the Beast and the Ghost Rider wooden roller coasters is because they're similar in that they're wooden roller coasters, but the Beast and Ghost Rider are always ranked pretty high within like people's top tens of best wooden roller coasters. So I just thought it'd be interesting to compare those two. But yeah, so when you're on this ride, what happens is you go, you get on the train, you go up, to the first drop in your classic roller coaster fashion, and then you're just ripping through the beautiful verdant valleys of Missouri, which if you guys have not been there, it is a beautiful state. They got luscious green trees everywhere, nice rolling hills, and if you grew up in Illinois like we did, it was a sight for sore eyes, and it was a nice little view.
No kidding, yeah. Slight change of scenery for us.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so my first experience on this ride was, like I said earlier, when I was in eighth grade. This ride was the ride I wanted to get on the most. It was, I think, the ride I got on second to last. And I wanted to ride it all day. I thought it was cool that it was like a wooden roller coaster. I liked the history of that. When you go through the queue, when we talk about our little test that we go, the thrillometer test, the queue's pretty bad on this ride. It's like nothing really but like bad switchbacks, up ramps that like block off the view for the park for some reason, and then you get loaded into the train. But I was really excited. People were telling me all about it. I waited in line for like 2 hours for this goddamn ride the first time I rode it. It was like the ride everyone wanted to go on that day, and so I also wanted to go on the ride, and so we were just waiting. I got on it and we went up the up ramp and I was like, this is nice, kind of rigged, it's shaking my bones a little bit, but I was like, this is fine. And then after the first drop, I have to reposition myself because this is hurting me.
Yep.
I was a young boy. I wasn't even a man. I was a 14-year-old. I had no back problems. This ride, I got off this ride and I would like had to like walk away from the group for a second, be like, because I was like, I need, oh my god, my back. it like really, you feel every like rivet and bump this ride has to offer. At one point, I was trying to like push myself off the seat so like my back would stop taking the brunt of it. But I still had a good time on this ride. Like I said, It does hurt your back, but it probably won't injure you. But you do go through a bunch of bunny hills and turns just as a roller coaster. It's pretty common roller coaster design. You've got them just go up down a big drop through a bunch of bunny hills and back. But like I said, you go through like the back of the park, so you can't always see the other rides, and you're just in the Missouri forests, and there's, you know, nice rolling hills, and it's really pretty. It's just like, I remember being struck by the gorgeous surroundings, because, you know, a lot of rides, like, I like Tower, one of my favorite rides is Tower of Terror down in Disney Orlando, and it's fun because, like, it opens up and you can see the whole park, but when the door opens up, you just see, like, flat Florida, like, which has, like, you know, it's just, like, you can see for miles, because it's, like, they're below water level as it is. But on this ride, you get the nice view of the mountains, and yeah, we just had a great time, but we did not get back on it for a second time because of how much it hurt our backs.
Yeah, my group was the same way. The three of us were like, yeah, no, we actually need to take a 5-minute break from other rides, because we had the flash passes, so we didn't have to wait as long as you did. We waited for like five minutes for the Screaming Eagle ride.
Yeah, there was no flash passes the days I went. They were like, no, because it was like the day that our high school went, but or not our high school, our junior high, but also like a lot of other junior highs went.
So of course that's why that explains why the wait was 2 hours for that ride.
Oh yeah, there was just like buses and buses of like kids. I'm sure it's like the park's least favorite day.
Shocker. Yeah.
But this is what I'll read. What the Six Flags website says about this ride. Also, Six Flags, update your website. Why am I looking at like a JPEG that's like not up-res? It's 2025. Got to update this stuff. But anyway, the thrill level they set this to is maximum. The minimum height requirement is 48 inches and 46 if you're accompanied by somebody. It has the Flash Pass availability. And this is what they say about it. Famed roller coaster designer John Allen designed this wooden masterpiece according to his philosophy that a coaster should inspire awe as well as thrills. As you soar through the course of this beautiful and iconic legend, you will feel exactly what the designer intended. Screaming Eagles, 110-foot height and 62 miles an hour, were an instant Guinness World Records on the first day it opened in 1976 for America's bicentennial. But even more than those amazing attributes, this first class ride was an instant star because of its extraordinary layout and riding experience. On that first 110-foot climb up the hill, with nothing to impede your sight, you'll see a vast landscape of park and sky. The wide open view will inspire awe as well as thrill you. In fact, you almost forget that you are about to plummet 92 feet down. As you race down the hill, the whole world seems up in front of you as you proceed down a stunning long run of hills through wild country and trees. With an intensely fun 38,000 feet of track, you'll feel sheer inspiration as a designer intended. I don't know if you can pick up on that, but they, for some reason, say as a designer intended three times in that, like, four paragraphs.
Yeah.
No idea why they did that. They really wanted you to know that designer intended awe, which I do think he achieved.
We both said it, but they L editing.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of their Six Flags stuff, I'm like, they need to update their stuff. I don't know if they care. Like,
they do.
But they definitely need to update
their website needs a good scrubbing, to be honest.
Yes, I would tell them that.
Grabbing certain tickets can be kind of complicated.
So you listen to me, Six Flags, you probably almost billion, if not multi-million, if not billion-dollar company. Take my advice.
Or sponsor us, either way.
Or sponsor us, yeah. I'll take back anything I said that you didn't like. If you didn't like whatever I said, just let me know and I'll take it back and we can just do the whole episode again. We'll talk about how non-painful Screaming Eagle is.
And how amazing the editing is on your website.
Yeah, perfect editing. The prose, it was like reading Shakespeare. I loved it.
You're saying multiple meanings in the same sentence. That's that's how special it is to us, Six Flags.
Great.
If you sponsor us.
Let me ask you, also, was there any like overlay for Fright Fest for this ride?
Not that I can remember.
They didn't do like no Halloween decorations or nothing like that?
Oh, gotcha. No. Right. Not in that part of the park, at least. If they did, it was leading up to the Screaming Eagle. Because it's, like you said, it's parked literally as far back into the theme park as you can go. So I'm pretty sure they were just like, later on in the evening, there's no point to decorating the thing itself, which is kind of a bummer because it's in the forest. That's a huge opportunity to do something really cool.
Yeah, I wonder if they don't want to mess with it because it's so old. like, I'm actually curious about the future of this ride. I tried to look up a little bit about that, like where this ride might go in the future. I couldn't really find any plans for it, though. Next year is the 50th anniversary of when it first opened, and 50 years is a pretty long time for a roller coaster like this, like a wooden outdoor, all outdoor roller coaster in like a smaller park. So I'm curious if they'll do anything fun next year for the 250-year anniversary for America and the 50-year for the roller coaster.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I always like overlays and stuff. I think like a lot of more rides should have that. I know that's like not a popular thought amongst some people, but I always think it's fun to have like Christmas themed or Halloween themed. But yeah, I mean, this ride is, you know, like I said, it's like truly beautiful. That's what you look at when you're in the queue, is you just kind of like look at the pretty cool, because they don't really make wooden roller coasters like this anymore, because the roller coaster technology is advanced so far, and wood just can't keep up, and they don't need these like toboggan style rides, you know, that they're cool, but they don't like, they're not like as cost effective or as thrilling as some of the new ones. And so, you know, I like covering these smaller, older rides just because, you know, it's fun to look at a different perspective. Any other initial thoughts, Carson, about Screaming Eagle or anything else you want to say?
Yes, we took the ride. It was later in the afternoon and it was getting to the point where the sun was about to set. And I remember thinking as the ride was about to end, this would have been so beautiful, like for the sky and the forested scenery, if it was evening right before, like I should say dusk, right before it becomes dark, where the sky is at least partly cloudy, where you can still see a lot of colors coming through from the sunset. So I highly recommend trying to ride it around that time, or when it's about to hit dusk, so you can get all the colors and all the, just all the vibes from the forested part of it. That would be that was a really cool experience later in the afternoon when it was starting to wind down. But try it at dusk and see all the different colors that you can from it too.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because this park is open 11 to like 8 most days. And so if you, I think you're 100% right. If you get on this right at the twilight hour, right before the ride closes, it's really beautiful. I actually went and found a ride POV of this ride at night just to see what it looked like. Yeah, when you get those colors of the sunset and you get the verdant rolling hills of Missouri, and then you have like the backdrop of the park that you can look at, because like once again, you're in the back of the park, so you can look at the rest of the park. It's just a nice little, you know, it would be peaceful, but you know, you should go look up, anyone listening, you should go look up a POV of this ride, because
yeah,
they like almost perfectly encapsulate what it's like to be on this ride, because they are so shaky, and I could feel the phantom pain in my back, like coming back with a vengeance while I was watching all these POVs of this ride, because yep, it was very funny to me that it's almost impossible to take a good video of this ride because it's so yeah, shaky.
The most it hit me was the bunny hills. I'm not sure about you, Austin. The first drop was fine. First quarter of the ride is fine. And then you'll feel the shakiness once you hit the bunny hills. Oh, God. Yeah, I can feel it with you, too.
It was the bunny hills and the turn where I was like,
ugh. Oh, yeah, the turn. That's right. That's where my neck got rocked.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, I mean, like I said, this will be a shorter episode, like I said up front, because we're just talking about a roller coaster with limited theming and there's not a ton of history about it. All right, so now we will take the Screaming Eagle through the Worth It indicator. And a fun thing about our podcast is that each episode, the Worth It indicator will be a little different depending on the ride, because you can't really, in our first episode, we talked about Jurassic World, which had like, you know, it influenced the movie. It's one of the biggest IPs out there. You know, everyone knows what Jurassic Park is, and it's not going to be fair to judge this ride based off that ride, you know, with the same rubric. It's like judging if a fish can fly or a bird can swim real well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the first test is the accessibility test, is how accessible is this ride for all types of people? And since this is a shorter roller coaster, clocking in at 2 minutes and 30 seconds, this test has also been limited to 5 questions. Me and Carson will both go through this right now with you and give it a score out of 25. And at the end, we will tell you what the score means. If you listen to this and you want to let us know what your score is for the ride itself, go ahead and drop it in the comments below. But yeah, the first test, accessibility. Unfortunately, this doesn't really have any accessibility. I read a little bit about it, of what I could find, but it didn't have any specific weight limits. It just kind of said, you know, different body types need different, you know, room, but I couldn't find anything specific. The height requirement we talked about earlier, it does have flash pass accessibility, which is like, if you go to Disney a lot, it's like lightning lanes or like an express lane. It's just like, you can pay for it and get on the ride faster. You know, you can skip the line essentially. But you cannot ride this ride if you, let me pull up the ADA safety guidelines for Screaming Eagle. You have to be able to hold your own head up the entire time. You can't have any missing limbs. I don't know, like, that one's kind of weird to me. I don't know why, if you're missing an arm, you can't ride this. But you need two functioning legs, two functioning arms, absent of prosthetic devices. You also, if you have any medical devices that are like outside your body, you also can't ride this ride. This ride does not have any wheelchair accessibility. And, you know, it also says like, don't wear loose clothing, but that's not strictly enforced. But, you know, this ride was built in the 70s. It's not going to have all that. It just isn't. That's not what they were thinking about back then. But it's, I feel like it should still be docked because it doesn't have really anything in the modern day. So I gave that a score of 1.
Yeah. Is 0 possible?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm giving it a big old goose egg. That is no bueno. But if you're right, what are you going to expect? But the prosthetic thing, that's kind of shocking to me.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess because it could fly off.
Or at least, at the very least, like the missing limb part, I'm just like...
Yeah, I guess I read it wrong. It says you must possess at least one functioning arm absent of prosthetic devices.
So
so I guess you can have one arm and just take your prosthetic arm off. Still, but I don't know. It's still kind of strange. But you have to have two functioning legs, which they very specifically outline.
I'm surprised they haven't updated that a little bit more now that we're in, you know, 2025. But okay.
Also,
so yeah, 0 for me.
If you have any like physical injury, do not get on this ride. That they don't say that, but I'm telling you.
Forget it. Yes.
Like you will hurt yourself.
If you've somehow gotten whiplash recently from something else.
Yeah, if you have a whiplash or you have back problems. Like, if you have back problems, don't even think about getting on this ride.
I highly do not recommend this ride.
Yeah, don't get on that ride. You'll hurt yourself and Six Flags ain't got the money to pay you out. But moving on to the second part of this, which is the wait times / queue. So how long is the average wait time for the ride? Does the wait time hinder or help the ride? And is the wait time, does it warrant the full ride experience? The average wait time for Screamin' Eagle in St. Louis is clocking in at an 11-minute average, which is pretty good. The maximum is 150 minutes, which is ludicrous. That is clocking in at like, what is that, like 2.5 hours? That's crazy. Don't do that.
I mean, you waited for 2 hours.
I did, yeah, I did. I did wait for 2 hours. This might be me. I might be the person that hit this maximum on that day. There were a lot of people there for this ride. The average ride length is 2.5 minutes, and the queue is not good. The queue is some metal switchbacks with some that lead into ramps that like go slightly uphill up to the loading area. The ramps are kind of like poorly designed though because they like block the view from the rest of the park for some reason. Like that was like my main memory of the queue was like just looking at like wood because I couldn't like see over it because like that was how they were designed. Some areas are shaded, some not. Missouri can get real hot like it's right now in the summer. So that's a bummer. Make sure to like wear hats and whatnot while you're waiting in line for this. But really nothing else stands out in this queue. That's like pretty much all there is. Like there's like a sign that says Screaming Eagle. I think they should add in like a random sound effect of like the famous like America Eagle screech. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Just add that randomly. I think that would add something to it. But the ride is beautiful to look at. I like looking at Screaming Eagle. It's very pretty. So I gave this for wait times and queue. I gave it a score of 2.
I will give it a 2 as well because I totally agree. It's just the switchbacks are just like you said, metal and wood, yep. Really.
Metal and wood.
And you'll be, you know, when you're in the back half, if you are in a long wait, if the queue is a long wait time, you're going to be stuck in the sun for a while. So, you know, that'll yeah. wipe you out, right? Just doing that alone, too. So, you know.
So the average is 11 minutes. So if you see a long wait time for this ride and you're going to be at the park all day, just come back later.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah, just exactly. come back later. There'll be another time in the day when it's not 150 minutes. We'll just go ride something else. Next we'll talk about the cost, which, you know, we're a podcast with the people here, Carson. We like to put ourselves in other people's shoes. So does this ride cost money to get on? What is the average cost of the ticket to a park? What is like the line like for like how long you're waiting? So how I broke this down was a Six Flags 1 day ticket is somewhere between $35 and $25. The average amount that you get, like I did some calculations across the United States to find like minimum wage, and minimum wage is anywhere from $7.25 to like $21 in California in some places. So I took like a median of $14. And the park is open for 9 hours. So what it boils down to after all this math I calculated is if you spend 9 hours in this park and you waited the total time, which would be like about 13 minutes if you include the average wait time and the ride length, it comes out to would you pay to get on this ride individually $3.50?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a long
road to walk, but hey, we're trying to help out the families here that are trying to debate whether this is worth it or not. So would you pay $3.50 to ride this ride?
Yeah, it's below $5, especially present day. That's, yeah. I mean, you're going to want to decide, you know, how long you're willing to wait if the line is longer than usual. If that's the case, follow Austin's advice. Don't just go back another time the day. But yes, I personally think it would be worth $3.50 to do that.
Yep, I think it'd be worth $3.50. I think it's probably worth like a maximum of $5 I would pay individually to get on this, because it is going to hurt you a little bit. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, I gave that a score of 4.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give it a 5 because it's going below that $5 mark. So that's pretty impressive. So 5
yeah,
for me.
Six Flags, you know, $35, $25 ticket a day, that's not bad. They are only open for 9 hours a day, though, so that seems a little short to me. So if you're going, just plan for that. They're only open for 9 hours. And the water park's open for, I think, 8, a little bit less. The next test is for roller coasters specifically, which is the thrill level. So as I mentioned earlier, Six Flags gives itself a maximum rating here on the thrill level. I don't really know if that counts, because that's like if you scored your own test and you were like A+.
Yeah, that's pretty biased.
but it currently ranks 49th for best wooden roller coasters, according to Golden Ticket. It has gone high as 18. It has a height of 110 feet, a drop of 92 feet, a speed of 62. Faster than Ghost Rider, 2 miles an hour slower than the Beast. To me, this ride has really good thrill for a wooden roller coaster. The drop is awesome right up the, after you do the lift hill, you do a small turn, and then you're just right down to the drop, and then you're just ripping through the rest of the ride. I think this ride is pretty thrilling. You also don't know if you're going to need surgery after you get off of it, so that's also can be thrilling in a sense. But yeah, I gave it a score of 4 out of 5.
Well, I'm giving it 4 out of 5 as well. And I just agree with everything you said about it, honestly. I have actually gone on some of the wooden roller coasters at Mount Olympus in the Wisconsin Dells. Ooh. And those were pretty impressive wooden roller coasters. I'm sure we'll find a time to talk about that down the road in the near future. But, you know, there are wooden roller coasters there. One of them is called Hades, and that one goes below the, like, it drops and it goes under the parking lot, and it's pitch black and everything like that. And there are some really good wooden roller coasters at Mount Olympus. So that's why I'm giving it a 4 out of 5, because I wouldn't say it's a maximum thrill. But it is still an impressive ride for a wooden roller coaster. I'm not gonna discredit that part.
Yeah, for a wooden roller coaster, I think it's pretty good. I haven't ridden too many. I'm going on a Matterhorn for the first time in a couple of weeks here, so I'll report back on that. But for other wooden rides I've been on, I really like this ride, and I think it's pretty good thrill. And apparently, mm-hmm. if you If you like the, if you want to hit the maximum thrill, get the furthest back train because you get the most airtime off the bunny hills. So you feel like you're floating the most.
I can personally confirm that.
Yeah, so if that's what you want. You know, there's also the term called stapled, Carson. Do you know what that means?
I do not.
Okay, so you know, like, you always have, like, a lap bar or something that comes down over your head that, like, secures you into the vehicle?
Yeah.
So getting stapled is when the attendant comes over and, like, pushes down too far, and then you feel like you can't move at all.
Oh, yeah.
And then people don't like that because then they don't get any airtime. I'm not quite there or ever will be there. I like to feel secure. Although I will say once when I was on Flight of Passage, which is a ride, the Avatar ride in Disney World, Animal Kingdom, you get on like a, like you sit on like a, what would, is essentially like if you were getting on a bike, that's kind of what the seat looks like a motorcycle, not like a bicycle.
Nice.
And I got into it. And when you sit into it, the back part like closes on your legs to secure you. Cause have you been on Soarin', Carson?
No, I actually haven't.
All right. Damn. Well, it's similar to Soarin' where you get like, you go up and in this case, you just go out. But when I was in there, it like closed on my legs and I was like, yeah, I feel secure. And then the attendant came over and she was like, oh, yours isn't locked in all the way. And she like pushed it in. And then I was like, it completely closed on me. And I was like, oh yeah, if there's a fire, I'm not getting out of here.
Gone.
I was like, there's absolutely no way I could get out of this.
You're locked in.
I was like, 100% locked in. I was at that one. I was like, ooh, it's a little too much. But, yep, so I give that a 4, and you gave that a 4. Did you give it a 5?
Oh, no, I'm giving that a 4.
4. And then for the last test for today, for Screamin' Eagle, is this ride a must-do? If you don't do this ride, will your experience at Six Flags St. Louis been worse? In my opinion, yeah, I do think so. I think it's, like I talked about earlier, I think it's the weenie of the park. It's the thing that you see throughout the whole day. It's like a beautiful structure that you want to get on. I think if you don't do it, you'll be like, oh, why didn't we get on that? I think you should get on it. I think you should just do it at the end. I think this should be the last thing you ride. That way you don't hurt your back for the rest of the rides you're going to be on.
There you go. If you like, you heard it here, folks. If you like looking at weenies, you're not going to want to miss it out for Austin.
That should be the new Screaming Eagle tagline.
Yeah, exactly.
I gave that a score of 5 just because I think you have to do this.
I'm actually going to go ahead and disagree with you on this one, Austin. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 3 and say that your day's like, if you can make it on there, go for it. Especially for the view, like I said earlier, that the view and the atmosphere of it, like in the hills of it, but. I personally don't think it's going to mess with the rest of your day if you don't get into it. I know it's iconic. I know it's an important part of the historical part of Six Flags, but based on how much I got rattled, I would not have been too upset to not have ridden that ride after my full day at Six Flags when I went last year.
Really? That's surprising to me because like Six Flags has so many rides that are just like a carnival ride. They're not like a theme park ride, if you're following me here. But this is like a true blue wooden roller coaster. But hey, that's why we have different test people. That's why we give different scores. And
that's a good argument, man. That's a good point. I'm still going to stick to what my answer was, but you make a valid point about that.
Hey, I'm not stumping for this ride. This is not one of my favorites. The backbreaker of this ride. I do think it has its place in history, though. I do think maybe its days are not long. But that for me, that gives it a total of 16 out of 25, which for today's purposes, that would put it right at a solid ride, but missing one or two key elements, which I do believe is correct for this ride. What about you, sir?
I'm at 14.
14. So right below that. So yours between 10 and 15 would be what I just said, or a ride that is missing a lot, but can still be fun. And that feels right for this ride. It's very old. It's still fun. Just, you know, you can't ride it if you have any pain in your back whatsoever.
Yeah, true.
But that will cover Screamin' Eagle. Once again, we just want to thank you for listening. Please like, share, subscribe, rate, do all the stuff that people always ask you to do on podcasts. It really helps us reach a different audience. Shout out to our one UK listener. I don't even know how you found this, but I'm glad you did. We're also on TikTok at Tickets Please Pod on TikTok. You can go over there. There'll be a couple of videos for you on that. Just clips from past episodes, including this one. There will also be a couple of other videos. I got one coming up about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and its pros and cons in general. But that's a much shorter video, not a full-fledged episode. But yeah, it was. I like covering these small rides. Next time, I'll give you a little hint, both the listener and Carson. We travel to a galaxy far, far away to talk about something that Carson has not experienced. And I'm going to pitch it to him and see if I can get him to buy into the experience.
I think you'll do a good job with that. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see how that is. And then the episode after that, I won't also give any spoilers, but I'll simply say, holy guacamole. We have our very first special guest, and he's super cool. Which is a really good joke when you see what we're covering in a couple of weeks here.
Y'all are going to have a blast with them. It's going to be great.
But yeah, thank you for listening. This has been Tickets Please with your hosts Austin Gould and Carson Gray.
Thank you very much, everyone. Take care.